Thanks for listening to the Last Days podcast with Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes. To stay connected, please check out the River of Tri-Cities Church on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, or online at riverofTriCities.com. The Last Days podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, here's Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes.
Well, hello and welcome back to the Last Days podcast. And this is Todd and Katie. We're coming at you from the beautiful, incredible, and gorgeous Johnson City, Tennessee. And so anyway, beautiful. Here we are. And hey, we're back. And some people probably thought, what in the world happened to them? Because they are just playing some different stuff from messages. But we have been out of the country quite a bit.
Yes,
we have buzzing all around the world. And we're back. So anyway, we're going to...
Yeah, it's awesome. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and always great to be with you. And we're just so thankful what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. We prayed, of course, before we started this, and we just believe that as you're listening, that the Holy Spirit's going to speak some things to you and be exactly what you need.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And so we're just going to plow along here, and not plow, but you know what? We're just going to move along.
I'm going to share what the Lord has put in our heart to share with you today. So I'm going to start reading here from 2 Timothy chapter 4. I love the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. Of course, they're written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Timothy being, at this point, a younger man in ministry. And of course, Paul really raising him up in ministry and really encouraging him. And these books have so much great advice.
Good stuff.
Yes, especially for those in ministry. But I would just say a lot of leadership things as well, and just great advice. So each one of us is a leader in some capacity or another, and God has given you a realm of influence. Your responsibility is to grow that. Grow in leadership, grow in influence. Let more fruit abound from your life, and let increase have its way. A lot of times people actually, through their own thoughts and habits and lifestyle, people they hang out with, limited thinking, things like that, they actually keep themselves from increasing. It's not God's plan, but of course we've each been given a choice whether we want to go big or we want to stay small.
Right. Amen.
And so of course our encouragement to you would be to go big. In everything that you do. And that everything starts and happens on the inside of us first. And so we have to be very intentional about growing. And if you have a family, you have a business, you have a ministry, you are maybe supporting other people in any of those other ways, the plan, God's desire for you, of course, would be to increase to the point where you have your own. And to there literally is no limits that God puts on us from increasing and how much we can increase, how much we can grow, that kind of thing. We actually prove that we're a faithful steward when we increase what we have. And of course, you know, we can look at, you know, the famous parable of the ones that were entrusted with one talent and five talents and 10 talents and what happened, what they did with that. And of course, the reaction to the one who simply gave the one talent back versus the one who multiplied the talents was extremely different. And it's very clear from that exactly what God expects from us and what we need to do. So we should never be giving excuses. Rather, ask the Holy Spirit to help you and to give you wisdom. What adjustments do you need to make? I have to do this all the time myself. And so that I can increase and I can be found a faithful steward, and that so the Lord doesn't have to bypass me to go find someone else who is faithful and willing to do what he desires done. And each one of us have giftings on the inside of us. Those vary and those are different, and the way that God uses us is very different. Our styles are different. Everything, we're each unique, and it is supposed to be that way, and it is awesome. It is very, very awesome. The diversity within the body of Christ, the uniqueness, all of those kind of things are actually a beautiful thing. and it's supposed to be like that. Last night, my husband was ministering about, you know, us running our heavenly race, and he'll be going into the different crowns and rewards and things that come about when we have faithfully run our race and we are running, you know, in the best way possible. And of course, we run to win. We don't run to lose. We don't run to just be on the same pace as everybody else. We actually just, we're not even, and he talked a lot about this. It's really a great message. You could go back and listen. So I'm referring to Wednesday, May 1st, and you can go back on YouTube and listen to that if you've not heard that. But one thing, babe, that I loved that you shared about on there was talking about how comparison is such a thief and how our race is not like anybody else's race. We can be encouraged by other people's races. We can, of course, applaud them and encourage them on their race and things like that. But we're not to actually compare ourselves or to be, because we end up then in pride or we end up in, you know, giving into our insecurities, and we end up in inferiority and just like discouraged and, oh, I can't do it because I can't do it like them. You know, I'm going to have to quit. Both of those are wrong. Neither of those are of God. But I loved just that how each one of us have a race to run. And again, it's our responsibility to, you know, get on the track, so to speak, stay in your lane, so to speak, and mm-hmm. actually run with purpose what God has called you to run, and it will be a beautiful and a wonderful result that not only do you feel such great joy and peace and freedom, but it's multiplied because you're able to be a blessing and you're to someone else, mm-hmm. and you're able to give what God, the success that God has allowed you to have, the blessing that has come up about in your life, again, because you're fulfilling the race and the plan and the call that he has for your life.
Absolutely. So you were started off reading there. Mm-hmm. Let me pull that up in, I have 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I think that's where you were reading.
I was correct? Actually 2 Timothy chapter 4.
2 Timothy chapter 4?
Yes. Okay. I was going to start here in verse 2.
Yeah. There we go. Okay. I thought I was thinking 1 Timothy. Okay. You're right.
Well, you might have another verse from 1 Timothy that, of course, would be great.
No, this is good.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, again, 2 Timothy 4 in verse 2, it says, herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. I'm reading from the Amplified Classic. Okay. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable. The Amplified then goes on to explain whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome, you as a preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong, which that's a change of thinking. A lot of people think, oh, just encourage people. But actually Paul's advice says to Timothy is as a preacher and that your responsibility is actually to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking and correcting, not super fun words, warning and urging and encouraging them, happy word, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. So we see here, there's a whole lot in just this one verse. But of course, our responsibility is that we do herald, we do preach the word, we do, it is our lifeline. It is the most valuable thing in our life and a help to us. And of course, he's reminding Timothy, listen, you got to stay ready at all times. So be instant, in season and out of season. And in being instant, in season is like natural, it's easy, it's fun, you feel there's lots of grace to be able to do it, there's not the challenges, I mean, those are amazing times. But what do you do if it's an out-of-season time, what do you do, as in the Amplified Classic puts it, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable? So what do you do in unfavorable times? What do you do, it goes on to say, whether it's convenient or inconvenient? So it's unfavorable, it's inconvenient, it's unwelcome. What are you supposed to do? How do you do that? Mm-hmm. How do you keep going? Because, of course, Paul is reminding Timothy, no, you as a preacher of the word are actually to show people in what way their lives are wrong. You're to convince them. You're to correct them and warn them and urge them, rebuking them and encouraging them and not giving up in, but having patience, a fruit of the Spirit, and, of course, teaching them. And he's talking about why this is so important, because it goes on to say in verse 3, for the time is coming when people will not tolerate or endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number chosen to satisfy their own lacking and to foster the errors they hold. For sure, without a doubt, this is happening today. You see this even amongst people that wouldn't consider themselves religious at all, but in other ways, they're just looking for people that will give them something that is pleasing and gratifying to the flesh, to their ways of thinking, accept their lifestyle, and all of that to be able to continue in that. But notice he didn't tell Timothy, okay, draw back or only preach to the Christians, or it's okay, let people do their own thing. That wasn't actually his advice. He goes on here to say in verse 5, as for you, be calm and cool and steady, accept and suffer unflinchingly every hardship. Wow. That's straightforward and not easy to do. I mean, it says suffer unflinchingly every hardship, meaning when it's difficult, you can't even draw back. You can't even show any signs really that it is. You don't flinch. You don't make an excuse, certainly not. But it says do the work of an evangelist, fully perform all your duties, all the duties of your ministry. So this was, I feel like, wow. I mean, this is a great word for us, and we should allow this obviously to strengthen us.
Amen.
And to even let the resolve that is in the inside of you by the fire of the Holy Ghost and by the Lord to really come about and to even be perfected on the inside of you.
Very true. We have in starting off reading this portion of scripture, babe, you were talking about being instant in season, out of season, no matter what. And then you continued it on down there and how we just keep on going. Mm-hmm. Or we don't draw back.
Right.
So, you know, you don't necessarily make a decision about what your in-season times are or out-of-season times are.
So true.
They come and they go. They ebb and they flow. And you know in the natural when seasons are coming and when they're not. But in the realm of the spirit, and things that are going on spiritually, not always is everybody going to know, well, this is coming upon you right now, an out-of-season time, you know, unless right. You've got some sort of a word given to you, mm-hmm. or God speaks to you and says, all right, you know what, you're going to be in a period now where there's not going to be a lot happening. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can take that a few different ways, but there are people who... you go through out-of-season times. I was, as my wife mentioned, ministering last night on running your heavenly race and not being distracted in the run and in the race that God has given us to run. Many people look all over the place when they are not running themselves. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you're not running, now we should always be running your race, and we are, but there's times when it's like, you know what, I am really in the game today.
Yeah.
And I have a bunch of stuff going on, and things are staying busy around me and everything. And then there's other times, and those of you who are in, well, it's not just ministry, but many that I talk with, you know, just like, wow, you know what? I've kind of come through a very busy time when I've been really ministering a lot. And now it's just like, you know, there's really not much happening.
Yeah.
And we've had times like that around yes. the church. Pretty much most of the time now, though, things are clipping along pretty good, pretty consistently now. You have times when you have to draw back, and there's nothing wrong with taking a break. There's nothing wrong with taking a vacation. In fact, we would recommend that to anybody and everybody that is listening. You need times where you can just be refreshed physically and mentally and spiritually. We go down to Tampa several times every year to be able to receive, to be able to sit under the ministry of Dr. Rodney and Dr. Adonica Howard Brown, and to just be able to get in the presence of God. When we're here, we're constantly ministering and going, you know, at a very fast pace. And whether we're here or whether we're going somewhere else, we just got back from like how many weeks, 6 weeks or mm-hmm. more of just very, very intense ministry, mm-hmm. Week after week after week after week. And so, you know, when you finish, you come to the end of that. It's not like, oh, you know, all the floor has dropped out and I don't have anything to do anymore. But you need to take some time and just be able to, okay, what can I do? But I need to be refreshed. The wrong thing to do, and however you look at quote unquote out of season, okay. Some people just feel like, you know, I'm not feeling God is using me right now.
Right.
I don't have an opportunity to be able to allow the giftings and the call of God to flow out of me. What am I supposed to do? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let me just say this. First of all, look unto the Lord. Kind of go back a little bit into the last night's message. Look to God. Mm-hmm. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look to people, okay? And a lot of times, you know, you'll be thinking, well, you know, God used to use me, and now he doesn't use me anymore. Now he's using this person over here. And, well, are you staying, let me just ask you this, like a runner, you have to stay conditioned, whether you are running a race that day or not. You have to do what you would always do so that you don't get out of condition. Because if you get out of condition, you're never going to be able to effectively run your race. And so it's important that, like in the natural, you're going to continue to do what you would always do to be ready. Mm-hmm. Because your out-of-season times, you don't get to choose. And so God could suddenly say, all right, I'm pulling you. You've had enough time, you know, as a little bit of a break. And so now I'm going to stick you in this season where you're just running your feet off. And you are going at such a ferocious pace. Well, you know what? If you weren't ready for that, you would resent it. Or it would burn you out. It would wear you out. And so you have to develop endurance. And just because you're not like constantly ministering, you need to continue to do what you would do if you were. Like, so if like with a minister, continue to stay in the word, continue to pray, continue to develop messages,
right.
Write a book. Take time. You know, I remember when Pastor Rodney was, I'm talking about that, when he first came over to America, he said he didn't have a lot of meetings or anything like right. that. He could have thought, wow, I came over here to really bring revival and there's no place to preach. What did he do? He wrote the first book, The Touch of God. Mm-hmm. And so he just holed away in the hotel room where he was and just began to write. This is how you handle seasons that are out. You right. stay productive.
Right.
You stay effective. You keep having something coming forth from you. Mm-hmm. Don't stop being effective.
Right. And I feel like that is, especially in today's, the technology and the things that we have at our disposal. I mean, you can do podcasts such as we are. You can minister online. You can, as you said, get things out in writing. Mm-hmm. You can even write blogs. You could, I mean, there, it's like, actually, I mean, limitless the ways that you can minister and get material out. And all the time, it's like you're growing spiritually, you're building, you're staying faithful to the call, you're being diligent, you're being productive. And just the fact of you doing that, you receive a fresh touch, you receive fresh ideas, you are growing yourself, but then that growth is going out to other people, and the Lord has something that he can multiply.
Absolutely.
He will bless what we put our hand to do.
Keep busy with what you have.
Yes.
Keep
even
busy
if it seems small.
Yeah.
Keep busy with it. Be
the
diligent.
Word says in 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is itself great wealth in the New Living Translation.
Wow.
And so you have to look at what God has blessed you with and be thankful for what God, for the giftings and the talents, the anointing that you have, and develop out of the giftings, develop out of the calling, develop things out of the anointing that you have. Be thankful, be content with where you are in God, and know that when you are being godly, that God will increase you. You're not going to stay at this level, wherever it is that you are right now. You're going to increase. But you have to look at where you are and consider the treasure that God has in you. He is invested in you. So make it worth it. So take time and develop those things that God's put inside of you. And don't look at somebody else. One of the things I said last night is when you compare, it's like a cancer to the contentment that,
true,
you know, being thankful for what God has done. It will eat away at that. If you start looking at some other person's life, their ministry, what they're doing and everything, you'll become very discontent. It will erode it. It will eat away at what God actually has given you. And you have a priceless treasure within you, and you need to recognize it and begin to develop something from what you have that people will see or hear and go, wow, I needed that. Mm-hmm. That is really, really wonderful. But you have to stay focused on what God has told you. And just because you aren't doing everything that God told you right now doesn't mean that in a moment's time, God suddenly cannot, he can just open up a door to you.
Yes.
And say, here you are.
Yes.
It's off you go now.
Yes.
And you just continue to minister. You just continue to give out. You just continue to be a blessing. You just continue to work. And so when you have these times where it seems like, you know what, I'm not able to give of myself and what all is, you know, a possibility for me, I'm not able to give everything for, you know, like I used to, well, then, I mean, start developing things out of where you are right now. Don't just sit back on your, you know, blessed assurance and say, well, there's nothing to do. And so then you get into carnality. Then
right.
Then the fire of God begins to wane in your life. Then all of a sudden, instead of fire, it's smoke. Because the flame within you has gone out. Don't let the fire of God go out. And don't be looking at somebody else who's running with the fire of God and who is doing something, cloud your view of what God has called you to.
Right.
Because when you start looking at other people all the time, you're going to get into a big problem with the plan of God for your life, and you're going to get into a big problem with God leading you. Because God has a plan specifically for you. He has a specific plan for me. I don't have to look at someone else's life. I don't look at someone else's life. I don't look at someone else's ministry and then think, oh my gosh, I have to keep up with them. There's no possible way. I mean, we have the River Church here in Tri-Cities. Pastor Rodney and Donica have the River in Tampa Bay. I don't feel it's my obligation to try to keep up and try to do what they're doing and everything. There's no possible way for me to do that. I mean, I'd kill myself trying to do that. I do have to accomplish the plan of God, though, for my life. My wife has to for her life. We have to accomplish the will and the plan of God for this place, because this is where God has planted us. We have to obey him and do exactly what it is that he says to do, when he says to do it, and how he says to do it.
Right.
We can't sit back and say, well, this isn't, you know, everybody else is running at such a quick pace, but I just really don't have, I don't have the open doors. I don't have this thing or that thing. Whatever, wherever you are and whatever you've got, develop something out of that. Be a good steward of what God has given to you, and it will increase.
You know, you look at like the Apostle Paul, and he had a very long and in-depth, what we would call out-of-season time when he was in prison.
Yes, he did.
And you think about how the mental battle and everything that he must have, the challenge going through that, because of course, you know, you're challenged in the natural ways. It's, that would be terrible to be in prison there. And you're, you know, how that would take a toll on you emotionally and spiritually, and not being able to be out doing, and really, I'm sure, having to fight all the things of like, you know, because your flesh wants to blame somebody. It wants to blame God. It wants to get mad at God, all those kind of things. And yet you think about in the midst of that, in such an out of season time, because he used the time wisely, and because he realized that actually this is the best time really for, and he wrote so many of the letters to the churches, the epistles, the things that are so vital to us today and vital to Christianity. They were obviously had to be included in the Word of God. God saw to that. That was all part of God's plan. And yet from the natural, people would, if they just only saw that piece of his life and that time or that season before the Word of God came to pass, they'd be like, oh man, you know, this is just such a, you know, such a terrible time, and nothing, what good could come out of this? And yet God ordained for it, for such great things actually to come out of that, and how that God would be glorified in the midst of just a crazy time, and how what the devil meant for harm, of course, God turns everything around for our good, for his glory. And so we should never actually, because many times we find ourselves in, whether, you know, you want to use the word a season or an unexpected time or whatever, when we didn't think it was going to be like that, when we're like, surely this is not the Lord's plan. And there are things that happen in our life that, of course, maybe other people did some dumb things and they affected us in a bad way, or, you know, the devil tried to attack or something like that. But listen, I always go back to, Lord, you knew that I would face this day before I was actually even born. And not only did you know that, you already have provided the way out for me. You've already provided the way of blessing and increase, because I go from glory to glory. I go from blessing to blessing, because as a child of God, my portion is that I flourish in every season. And that's your portion. So your mindset and your words have to line up with that. So it doesn't matter if other people call it an out-of-season time, you emotionally might feel like it is or whatever. Understand God's plan for you to flourish in every season and to come forth bearing great fruit and to come forth increasing and having a bigger harvest. None of that has changed. Just because you find yourself in an unexpected time when it seems like, man, this is tough, or there's not the grace, or I'm not excited like I was before. A lot of times we're just moved too much by emotions, by what other people say. We have unrealistic and unbiblical, actually, expectations. We, you know, nobody wants to, you know, go through tough times or suffer or anything like that. And I don't believe at all that that should be your mindset. I'm just looking to suffer like Jesus. But honestly, he did say, you know, as a good soldier, I mean, Paul said this, right? Like, you know, like take your fair share here of suffering and just go with it. In other words, it's not like you have to look for that stuff or, you know, try to embrace it. I'm not talking about any of that, but understand that if you're going to go through a tough time, there's an answer. There's a way forward, and it's a way of blessing and increase.
Yeah, it is.
And so we should never think, okay, well, it's just tough right now, so I just, it's so hard. And that, you know, serving Jesus, people adapt, you know, some stupid victim mentality and mindset that actually goes contrary to the word of God. And they take themselves out of the path of blessing and increase. So, you know, yes, unexpected things happen. Sometimes, you know, it's just like if you can be on the most beautiful hike somewhere, and you are surrounded by beauty, and especially when the weather is perfect and it's just awesome and amazing. And then it's like you can turn a corner and go, oh my gosh, I had no idea we're going to have to climb through this. And there's this huge, you know, there's been like this huge, this rain over here. There's all this mud and it's messy and it's hard. And I had no idea whatsoever. But the thing is like you find a way around and you go through it. And the next thing you're on this like awesome lookout point or whatever. So you're not going to feel at the time like maybe it's worth it. It's going to lead to something great. But this is where you truly walk by faith, and you truly understand if you believe the word of God and if you have the fruit of faith and faithfulness.
Amen.
And you are the faithful steward, and you are determined, and you will persevere, and you will be taken to higher heights because you're passing tests all the time. We don't enjoy the fruit of passing a test while the test is going on. But correct. As we pass the test, then we enjoy the great fruit. And so a lot of people are just too soft, honestly, I think.
They are.
But you have to know how to handle at the same time, how to handle when it's, you know, it's out of season.
Amen. And yeah, all of that you just said there, love. And Paul went through a time, like you said, you know, when he was in prison there, or locked down, or not able to go wherever he wanted to when he was in Rome. There was a time when he was under house arrest, and he could come and go as he wanted. He couldn't leave the city necessarily, but he was watched, but he could kind of come and go in and out of his house. I could have people over, but he wasn't able to travel. Paul was an itinerant minister.
Yes.
I mean, and so most likely when he's not able to do what he was wanting to do as he had done it, he probably felt, well, how can I be effective here?
Right.
But, you know, there was another time before that in Paul's ministry that he probably really thought, you know, what in the world is going on? Because, you know, he had been a Pharisee. Mm-hmm. He had traveled all over. Main job, persecuting the church. Excuse me, persecuting Jesus. That's what Jesus said it was. He thought he was persecuting the church. He was persecuting Jesus. And then after he had his Damascus Road experience, Paul knew that I have to get to know Jesus.
Right, right.
I have to know him. Whom to know is life eternal. And in Galatians chapter 1 and a little bit of chapter 2, he talks about this here. And he says in verse 11 of Galatians 1, and this is in the New Living Translation, "Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ." Okay. You're like, oh, wow, well, the guy's got a bunch of pride here, saying that, you know, he was just taught by God. No, actually, he had to pull himself away, and he had to take time where he wasn't just giving out like you know, like he was going to or like he had been before. It says, you know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When this happened, I didn't rush out to consult with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. Instead, I went away into Arabia, and later I returned to the city of Damascus. So he said, you know what? I had had a ministry. I had been in ministry. But then to get the greatest revelation that I needed to go to the next level, I had to pull back and I had to get prepared by none other than Jesus Christ himself. He said, and then 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter, and I stayed with him for 15 days. The only other apostle I met at that time was James, the Lord's brother, and I declare before God that what I'm writing to you is not a lie. After that, I went north into the province of Syria and Cilicia, and still the churches in Christ that are in Judea didn't know me personally. All they knew was that people were saying the one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy, and they praised God because of me. And then 14 years later, are you listening to these out-of-season times, people? Then 14 years later, I went back to Jerusalem again, this time with Barnabas. And Titus came along too. I went there because God revealed to me that I should go. And while I was there, I met privately with those considered to be the leaders of the church. And I shared with them the message I'd been preaching to the Gentiles. I wanted to make sure that we were in agreement for fear that all my efforts had been wasted and I was running the race for nothing. Yeah. Listen to that. This is Paul. I had to then get with somebody else because I was concerned that my efforts had all been wasted and I had been running the race for nothing. And you know, that's what the enemy would love to get in some people's minds right there.
Right.
And say, you know what? You've been wasting all your time. You haven't accomplished anything. This has been 14 years he was talking about.
Yeah,
I mean, this is not a short amount of time that Paul has been doing this. You have 3 years and then 15 days and then 14 years. And all these periods of time here, you have to understand God was working his plan in the life of Paul. And he goes on to say, and they supported me and didn't even demand that my companion Titus be circumcised. I'm sure Titus was very relieved with that one there, though he was a Gentile. He was like, woo, man.
Narrow escape.
Yeah, my gosh. Even that question came up only because of some so-called believers there, false ones, really, who were secretly brought in. They sneaked in to spy on us. What kind of perverts were they?
I mean, checking out.
Are you circumcised or not? They were spying on them there. Okay. And take away the freedom we have in Christ. I bet most people have never even thought of it in that way. But somebody had to realize, you know what? This guy isn't circumcised. How are they going to know that? Well, they were spying. Anyway, so they wanted to enslave us and force us to follow their Jewish regulations, but we refused to give in to them for a single moment. We wanted to preserve the truth of the gospel message for you. And the leaders of the church had nothing to add to what I was preaching. By the way, their reputation as great leaders made no difference to me, for God has no favorites. Let that sink in right there. Now, he's talking about leaders in the body of Christ, but he understands, he did not discount the time that he had spent in the presence of God. And people will say, well, you know what? You haven't done this. You haven't done that. Yeah, but I've been in the presence of God, and I stayed in the presence of God, and God spoke to me, and God revealed this to me. And this is what God has entrusted to me. This is the call of God that I have. And I will be faithful to, as Paul told Agrippa, I will be faithful to the heavenly vision. Mm-hmm. That's what Paul had to do. Be faithful to what God had said, do this, not to what somebody else was doing. You can't compare yourself. And you can't think, well, you know, I have to kind of keep up with this person and do what this person is doing. You have to do what God called you to do. And so, whether you are what you think of as in season, or God says, you know what, you're in a season of preparation right now, and this is not a wasted time for you.
Right.
You know, some people think, well, just because, you know, I'm not blazing about. I want to tell you, are you making yourself sharp?
Right.
Are you doing everything you possibly can
right.
to be what God has called you to be? Mm-hmm. Because that is very, very vital. It's extremely vital.
Right.
And Paul, he said, you know what, I don't care what they thought of me, because God doesn't have any favorites. Instead, they saw that God had given me the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as he had given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews. For the same God who worked through Peter as the apostle to the Jews also worked through me as the apostle to the Gentiles. Well, I want to tell you, you know, to be able to go out and to be able to do what God has called you to do, you have to have times of preparedness.
Yes.
You have to have yes. times where you go from glory to glory.
Right.
From faith to faith, from strength to strength. It doesn't just like fall on you like a ripe apple. You have to persevere. You've got to press True. In. And so you're going to need some time where you're not just running all over the place, but you take some time and you say, you know what? I've got to go to the next level right now. Instead, many people who aren't busy, they flesh out during those times.
True. Very true.
And they get into sin.
Right. They lose their vision.
Yeah.
And the purpose of what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they're not staying focused in what they consider an out of season time.
Right.
It's a deadly mistake.
Right.
And it'll take you out.
Right. And a lot of times, just even as you were saying, babe, that other people can even say, well, gosh, you know, this is out of season, or your flesh tell you out of season or whatever. And you miss, though, actually, it is preparation for the greater season or the greater thing, the next thing that God has for you. And I believe that a lot of times, because people aren't just diligent and they don't have an understanding of what's going on, they don't seek the Lord and really just press in, because see, you've been given time. What, that's like your most valuable resource. What do you do with that? You actually, what you need to do is believe the Lord to even multiply the time, but you're not going to have the faith to pray that prayer even and ask that if you're not doing your part and being diligent. But I think a lot of people miss the promotion and they miss the increase because of what they're currently not doing. And they're not embracing actually what the Lord is wanting to do. And the Lord has given you an opportunity. He's cleared some other things out of the way. He's given you an opportunity to actually do some things and to make some adjustments, increase some things, prepare for some things to actually take a great step up higher. And so if you're not diligent and you're not pressing through and you're not determined and just really speaking out the vision and what you know God has called you to do and what God has for you, then you actually are not going to be able to step into the next thing.
Amen. Exactly right.
And then people start adopting a theology that is wrong of that. Well, God only wants some people to increase. God wants some small ones, some small churches, some big churches. People make dumb excuses and actually say things that the Word doesn't support out of, because they themselves have not been diligent and they have not allowed the Holy Spirit to work some things out of them that actually are hindering them and holding them back
yeah.
from the great next thing that the Lord has.
Absolutely. And so you have to persevere. You have to continue to take ground. You just say, Lord, I'm going to develop to the fullest what you've put inside of me, and it's going to bear fruit, and people are going to recognize it.
Right.
And they're going to benefit from this time that would look to me to be like an out-of-season time.
Right.
But I want to tell you, even when a tree is not bearing fruit, it is getting ready to bear fruit. There are things in it, and the dormant times are very important
right.
for a tree.
Right. And on the outside, it looks like it's death, really.
Oh, it does.
But on the inside, everything is happening.
It's being
for
renewed.
The big stage of life,
yeah.
the next big stage.
It's being renewed, actually, inside,
right.
so that outside, more life can come again.
Right.
And so, even though on the outside, things may look like, you know, this is not my season. You know, people aren't seeing all of the great fruit of my ministry, of my life, of my business, whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, take some time right now. Thank God for where you are.
Yes.
Thank God for where you are.
Yes.
And you say, well, what do I have to be thankful for? That God is getting you ready to go to the next level.
Yes, and God has shown you his faithfulness and that he has favored you and he's blessed you. You've already received it. It's already done. It's already yours. You may say, but I don't see that in the natural. Yeah, but this is how faith works though. You have to not even just, well, in the future, someday I'm gonna walk into blessing. No, I'm already blessed.
Amen. Right now, right today, I am the blessed of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us here for the Last Days podcast, and we will see you again real soon. And listen, I want to encourage you, come and join us for the No Limits Conference.
Yes,
with
that's gonna be awesome.
Multimillionaire and entrepreneur extraordinaire Timothy Yusta. He is going to be with us coming up here in just a very short while, because we are in the month of May now, and he's going to be with us starting on the evening of Mother's Day. That's May 12th. And he's going to be here each night, then Sunday night, and then at 6:30 p.m., and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night at 7 p.m. right here at the River of Tri-Cities Church. And I want to tell you, this is going to be extraordinary. It's the No Limits Conference.
Yeah.
So make your plans now to come and join us.
He's a great speaker.
You will be so thankful. You are going to be enriched, and you're going to go to the next level.
That's
I assure
right.
you of that.
That's right.
All right. Well, we love you so much. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Dr. Todd Holmes, and I want to thank you for listening to this podcast, whether it was myself or my amazing wife, Katie, maybe the two of us together. If you want to be more than just an occasional listener and desire to really stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this generation, go to riveroftricities.com. That's riveroftricities.com, and click on Donate to be a part of the Last Days Army of monthly partners that we're taking ground with. If you'd like to do that, I would like to send you a special gift for partnering with us. So until next time, thank you so much for listening. God bless you.